The Doomer Bloomer podcast is a community for the resurrection of good ideas. We profile the hero's journey in weekly episodes and teach people about the 10 pillars framework for success in life, business, and relationships. Our mission is to find and help all Doomer Bloomers with mental health issues, poverty mindset, lack of resources, and those left behind in this world. Tune in weekly with Will S. and occasionally John Wynn as we have deep conversations with guests about the hero's journey, clown world order, and the resurrection of good ideas. To help support our community, go to www.thedoomerbloomerpodcast.com/support to become a member today. And remember, we are the cure for COVID-19.
All right. Thank you for having a listen this week with Jerry Zare. Jerry has just published his second book, The Peacemaker's Path, Multi-Faith Reflections to Deepen Your Spirituality. I highly recommend you check it out. The link to that is in the description of the podcast. As well, if you're cruising the internet and want to learn more about what we're up to and how you can support the show, go to www.thedoomerbloomerpodcast.com/support. Become a member. Join our Patreon page. There are three different tiers: basic, Alexa, and coaching level. Trying to build a community of like-minded individuals doing cool and interesting things all across the globe. Those Doomer Bloomers that need a little bit of help. I would highly recommend picking up this book. Again, you can find it at Amazon and also Jerry's website, www.jerryzare.com. And yeah, if you want to just leave a review for the podcast, the new place to do that is lovethepodcast.com/doomerbloomerpodcast. You can leave it on each of your favorite podcast platforms, whether you're on Google, Amazon, iTunes, Stitcher, all those different platforms now have a place for you to leave a review. Would really help out the show. Again, you can always find us at the Doomer Bloomer podcast.com and at Doomer Bloomer podcast on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and on our LinkedIn page. Have yourself a great and prosperous day.
And we're live. Welcome back to the Doomer Bloomer podcast with Will S., occasionally John Wynn. We're talking about the hero's journey, the 12 pillars framework for success, life, and business and relationships. Specifically, health, wealth, and wisdom are the three main pillars. Today on the podcast, I have a gentleman by the name of Jerry Zare. He's just written a new book called The Peacemaker's Path. And yeah, I just thought I'd invite him on. The full title is Peacemaker's Path, Multi-Faith Reflections to Deepen Your Spirituality by Jerry Zare. He is a author, speaker, spiritual guide, ordained minister, and has been a leader in the interfaith ministries for over 30 years. He's committed to building bridges where there was once walls between faith, traditions, generations, and cultures. Jerry, did I miss anything? Would you like to add?
No, thank you. It's good to be here with you and your listeners. And no, you've got that pretty well good down.
Nice. And just where are you coming from? Where are you tuning in, Jerry?
Well, I live in Carmel, Indiana, which is a suburb of Indianapolis, Indiana.
Okay.
We have the Indianapolis Colts and Indy 500 and kind of the Midwest, kind of just south of Chicago.
Okay. Yep. Oddly enough, I have some 6 degree separation friends there.
There you go.
And what, like, I suppose guess right into this. Like, what prompted you to write this book?
Well, it seems I started this 2 years ago, and there was a real sense of fracture in our country, and I think in the world a lot. There's a lot of in our country, we find a lot of polarization. It was people really found a sense of dividing and separating themselves into hard line in some ways and hard line groups. And I really believe that we have much more in common than what divides us. And so, I've been involved in interfaith ministries for 35 years. And yet what I've found out is that most people haven't read the Baha'i scriptures or the Quran or the Sikh scriptures. And so I wanted to write a book that was easily accessible, something that wasn't a book of theology, but was a book of reflections using the scriptures from all of our major religions, with a faith prayers from different faith leaders, to give people a sense to expand their own understanding of God and maybe their own, the divine within themselves.
And I've just read the first chapter from your website. There's an intro chapter on there. And for myself, I like how you compare or contrast these different faiths by saying that they all teach an example of the golden rule, of one form or another, right? Like, do unto others as you would do to yourself, sort of that idea, right?
And this is what's so amazing. Once I got into the different faith traditions, I found, in fact, that the book has six themes: the power of prayer, loving yourself, loving others, the quest for peace, karma, and all of these are really central in all of these faith traditions. And that's surprising, I think, for a lot of people to realize a forgiveness, learning how to be connected with the divine, and to see the power of prayer working. An example, when we speak about karma, that which is known in the Buddhist and Hindu tradition, now it's kind of a popular word, actually, Jesus taught that in when he writes and he says these words in the New Testament, you reap what you sow. Well, that is exactly what karma is. What you put out there, you will receive. If you put goodness and love and joy, you will receive that. If you put greed and bitterness and anger, that will come back to you. And so that's a universal law, the universal principle, if you will, that I think has been so wonderfully given by God, or if you call God higher consciousness, the divine, whatever word you have for that which is beyond us, but has given that inspiration to all of these great teachers over thousands of years.
Yeah, it would be what I would call infinite intelligence. That's
Okay.
more of a Napoleon Hill sort of take on it. And I kind of view it kind of in the same lens that you do. I call it like the universal colander and the individual streams of the different religions in the world. They've just been strained out into these different faith-based religions, but a lot of the teachings, again, if you come back to the core teachings, a lot of them are crossed over, and they there's a like you said, there's a more com I think there's a lot more commonality between these religions than there are differences. And then the one main quote I got out of the book so far is, "No peace among the nations without peace among the religions. No peace among the religions without a dialogue between the religions."
And I think that's so true. And you know, but what happens, and unfortunately, people use religion in some negative way sometimes, you know, to justify their actions. So like ISIS came, and when ISIS came on the scene, or they manipulated and took the scriptures of the Quran to justify their actions of violence. But when you talk to any of the great teachers of Islam, they will show you actually the core teachings about love and forgiveness and peace. Now, what ISIS did was that they wanted to justify their actions. And what happened was, you know, we think ISIS are only killing Christians or Christian people in the West. ISIS has killed more Muslims than they have even Christians, because they don't believe that a lot of the Muslims are practicing like them. It kind of was the same way Christians killed during the Crusades, killed many people to justify in the name of Jesus. We would never, you know, most of us would never say that the Crusades were following the teachings of Jesus' love.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, like, they call it a holy war on both sides. Both with Islam, and I guess the Crusades was another form of holy war. You know, and I guess even like more recently, I guess the Taliban has retaken their homeland, or whatever you want to call it, their traditional territory.
Well, and you know, this is where we all have our set of beliefs. We all can use the scriptures to justify our actions. And, you know, we have very conservative Christians who, in our country, who've justified the bombing of abortion clinics, you know, and they think, you know, that's, you know, they believe Jesus is teaching that. Now, I would suggest, and that's what I've written this book, is to help people see that when you read the scriptures and the central themes of this, they really do come, I think, in a way of love and forgiveness and building up of the world. But ultimately, you know, that is, each of us has to ask questions, I think, about what we grew up with, our beliefs, our ideas, and then say, is this really life-giving? Is this productive? Is this, you know, the word I use is life-giving, because when you see people using religion in a negative way, you know, evil will destroy itself. Eventually, ISIS will, and we've seen it already, start to implode. You know, Hitler tried to do his thing, but overall, goodness wins and love wins. And so that's why we need to join together, I think, in solidarity and in finding fine ways of building peace together.
Yeah, and I guess you've been at it here for 30 odd years, but it doesn't seem like it was always that way for you. Like, would you like to tell me a little bit more about your hero's journey, your, like, what I call a doomer to bloomer path?
Sure, yeah, that was for me. My degree was in speech and theater. In fact, I grew up in a very conservative, legalistic church background. And so I left all that because I just never bought into it, thinking you're going to go to hell if you dance, drink, smoke, you're going to do all these things. Or my friends who were Catholic or Baptist were going to go to hell. And so I was in the entertainment business. I went out to LA and 23 years old, going to make my fame and fortune, and very naive. But I had performed in a lot of musicals and stage productions. But, you know, when you get into the entertainment business, the thing I was dealing with the whole time I was out there, with the theme of it, was, what am I willing to sell my soul for? Because, you know, every relationship is transactional. Mm. There was always, what can you do for me? And there wasn't any genuine type of, you know, relationships, but it was more about, you know, it was all about myself. It was all about promoting myself or somebody else. And I really found that even though on the outside I was performing, getting a lot of accolades, and, you know, I sang on the Johnny Carson show, I performed at comedy clubs, I did some of that, inside, my soul was empty. I found myself very just inside, almost feeling that like my soul was shriveling up. Can you imagine that? Or maybe you felt like that at times in your own life.
I would say I have struggled with that for most of my 20s, to be honest. I feel until I hit my 30th year of life that I was fairly lost. And some days I still feel like I'm lost. But the what brings me back, I guess, nowadays is that I do have faith in something higher than myself, and that I am, for better or for worse, I'm on the path, God's path or a higher path, whatever you want to call it. And the script has really already been written, and you're just your character that you're a character showing up to play your part in that script. And it sounds like to me that just when I talk about the hero's journey, right, it's a journey of self-discovery, right? So
I think that's perfect. I think self-discovery, because that's what happened for me, you know. Mm-hmm. I finally was at, you know, we perform every night, 8 o'clock, you're in the show, you get done by 10:30. So you go out, your adrenaline's high, you go out partying and drinking and mm-hmm. doing things. And you know, somebody had marijuana brownies, and we had dope, and we had this and that. And I remember I finally just passed out. I threw up and passed out in my own, you know, kind of graphic situation. And when I woke up, I was going, my God, you know, what am I doing? And I could see if I led this life, I'd be dead in 5 years. And that's really when I said, I want something more. I want something to feed my soul. Mm. And that's when I really began my own self-exploration, as you will, or awakening. And I opened myself up again. And what I realized was, you know, God is much bigger than just what I grew up in my church. And so my understanding of God changed. As I read, as I did workshops, I went to retreat, I started realizing, you know, what I was taught as a young person, just somebody taught that to me. It doesn't mean a truth.
Oh, yeah.
So as I started my own self-exploration, like you, I realized, And I liked your image. Did you say infinite wisdom? Is that what you had for God?
Infinite intelligence.
I like infinite intelligence. You know, yeah. Because my idea of God used to be like a being out there somewhere that was going to judge you, strike you down, like Santa Claus, like the old, yeah.
Like an old wise guy in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you realize, okay, the universe is so diverse and rich. And I mean, I think science and spirituality work together. Quantum physics now talks about the different dimensions of the universe. Well, as a person of spirituality, you know, I'm not sure what heaven is, or if we're reincarnated, or what happens, but I do believe, you know, energy cannot be destroyed. And so we know that which is the energy, the essence of ourself, when our physical bodies die, goes beyond, goes somewhere. And so when I began that journey then, and that part of my hero story was finding my own self-worth, finding that which, you know, God had created me to be. I just didn't believe it. I didn't trust myself. I didn't believe in who Jerry was. I tried to find accolades and affirmations from other people. And then when I began this journey inwardly, I started to learn how to trust myself and get in touch with the goodness and love that I was divine, that I talk about the divine within each of us.
And I mean, I guess there's some lessons there, because when you talk about your, like, your upbringing, like, I think people have a negative view of church because it's so cookie cutter. It's so dogmatic that there aren't you. I think the way that you reconnect with your faith is that you have to make it very individual to yourself. And not necessarily, I guess, because you're a minister, right? So
well, and what I found was, you know, in the church that I'm a part of, we don't have any creeds or doctrines or dogma. It's mm-hmm. just the Christian church. And there are some denominations, if you will, or faith traditions that don't have that rigid way. Now, some people like that. Some people want, you know, they want the minister to tell me what to think, you know. So some people like the Catholic Church because it has ritual and doctrines to them. And I don't diminish that. That's important for some people. And some people like, you know, the more fundamentalist church or something, that they follow certain strict ways because they need some strong boundaries. Personally, I was always a person who questioned and searched. And so I needed to find a way that I could find my own faith, that which had integrity for myself, that wasn't, as you said, some cookie cutter formulation. But at the same time, you know, that's why we have all different denominations and religions, because we're human beings, and we need, and so all of these have value to me. I could always, you know, I could tell you all the things I disagree with the Mormons or the Catholics or, you know, Hindus or Buddhism. But what good is that when in reality we have so much more that we have in common? And I want to focus on those things, because as I focus on those things that we have in common, it's enhanced my spirituality and helped me deepen my own relationship with the divine.
Yeah, and I guess I'm going to order your book, obviously, but I like how you have like a call to action at the end of your chapters here. Do all the chapters have that?
Yeah, so it's set up that actually it's a 40-day kind of devotional or reflection, so that there's six themes or chapters.
Yeah.
And in those six themes, I have 7 days or, you know, 7 sub reflections. And so each day has a reflection that I wrote, then the scriptures from all the different faith traditions, then a prayer, and then a call to action, and then some questions for you to reflect on as you're reading this. And, you know, for me, I really came to love the teachings of Buddha and the Hindu scriptures. Now, until I really started doing the research for this book, I had never read the Hindu scriptures, which were the oldest scriptures that we have in our world. Buddhist teachings, the teachings of Baha'u'llah from Baha'i, are the Sikh scriptures. So, wow, it's just what I found was, you know, the idea is, I'm not saying to people, you need to convert to Islam or Buddhism, you know, whatever your faith is, or maybe you don't have any certain faith, but by reading this, it can enhance your own, hopefully, your own understanding of your God and yourself.
Yeah. I have a short sentence for that. It's called save the best and screw the rest. to me faith again is very individualistic, and you have to find again what works for you. And it's funny you should mention integrity, because that's one of the pillars that I talk about on the podcast a lot. And then of course peace, I call that inner peace and outer peace. Mm-hmm. I consider myself what I call a daily Taoist. So I try to practice Taoism. For me, Taoism is basically what saved my life, relatively, well, in the last 5 years. It basically saved my life, because I was similar to you going down a dark path around 2017. And it all kind of culminated for me last year, realistically, where I basically got to the point where I didn't want to be here anymore. Which unfortunately is more common in today's society than not. What really I think really got me out of that place is that, I knew that I had something more to give, and I just didn't know what it was. And for me, I think it's the fact that I've been studying the Tao Te Ching for 5 years. And it's become an unconscious part of my life, I guess. Like it's like the whole idea of conscious competency.
Yeah.
And out of all of the main, because it's more of a spiritual practice than it is a religious practice, but I also like last year also, and this year as well, like I came into the New Testament and the Beatitudes, with Jesus Christ. And I find that they complement the Tao Te Ching quite well. From that, and then just going, like, I practice more of a Bible based faith than a church based faith.
And you know, I think that's part of, for many of us, we say we're spiritual but not religious in some way, you know, because really the teachings of Jesus and what happened was you had then people later who formed the Christianity as a religion. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of the doctrines or teachings in the religion of Christianity that really were not even for Jesus, you know, it's not his essence of teachings. And it's the same way with Buddha and Buddhism. Same way with Muhammad and writing the Quran and then Islam. Mm-hmm. And some of that's because human beings, you know, we have to create, we have to shape, we have to make ourselves better than somebody else a lot of times. And if I have my faith and my beliefs, then I'm right and you're wrong. And it's hard for people to say, oh, can I be right and you right too? You know, can we actually have the sense of we're on a different journey, but we're still going to the same, you know, we're on the journey together. It's like, you know, there's many different rivers that go into the ocean, but they all flow, right?
Yeah.
And so it really, as you have found out, and I have too, you know, that when you get in touch with that essence, the divine, that's beyond us, that power of that, that it's wonderful and healing. But in reality, a lot of us have, and you know, I've had to realize that I had a lot of shame and guilt, a lot of things that came from society or maybe from your parents. It's what I call the voice inside of our head. It's the critic voice. Mm. It's that voice that we listen to that says, oh, you're no good. You have nothing to offer. Why do you think you could do that? You can't, you know, and it's a, or you need to do this better. You know, when you look in the mirror, oh man, you're getting wrinkles and old, you're fat, you hear that voice. And what happens is we listen to that critic voice more than we do even our best friends sometimes. And until we realize that, and this is, I write about this a lot when I'm talking about inner peace, mm-hmm. because we can retrain our thoughts. You know, our thoughts are the beginning of manifesting into our future. And it begins with our thoughts. The scientist who said, we have between 40 to 50,000 thoughts a day. You know, I mean, it's amazing how much our brain works. And sometimes a lot of people have 80% of those thoughts are negative. And if you just think about your own life as you go through, oh, I'm late. Oh, why did I do this? Oh, I got to do this now. What is going, you know, and we have all these thoughts in our mind. And when those thoughts are negative, they get manifested in your body and in your actions, emotionally and in spirit. So there's something about learning how to retrain our own thoughts and our mind to a better way of oriented towards love and joy.
Well, I think that's why I embraced Taoism, because Taoism mm-hmm. says there is nothing is left undone and nothing is undone. So it's not saying be lazy. It's saying that there's a time for everything and everything in its place. Because I have found that if you try to force outcomes of things and try to basically have expectations. So I guess what I'm talking about is actually non-attachment. So
yeah.
learning to be non-attached to the outcomes of things is probably one of the best thing you can do for training yourself, I guess your conscious, subconscious, or otherwise, to letting go of the outcome. It makes you more, like you said, more at peace, because you do realize that no matter what, you're going to be okay.
Well, and you know, there's these words from, of course, from Taoism, from the Tai Ching says, he who knows others is wise. Mm-hmm. He who knows himself is enlightened. Jesus says in Matthew, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world if they forfeit their soul? Buddha, and, you know, I love it because in the Hindu scriptures, the yogi who strives for perfection see the self dwelling in themselves. But those who do not strive and are not intelligent are unaware of self. So, you know, as I use some of Taoism in the scriptures, and it is as we come to understand ourselves, learning to love ourselves, learning to celebrate our own parts, where before I would always berate myself, be hard on myself. And then, you know, when you start to say, see yourself as God sees you, well, that's you know, when it's like your parent sees you and loves you, you know, but we think, you know, we're not really that good. And it's kind of funny because even I've had some wonderful reviews and people with the book, and they said wonderful things. And I said, oh yeah, my wife, you know, I'll say, oh yeah, well, you know, but no, she says, Jerry, I mean, people really love reading your book. And I have a tendency to dismiss those things, like, oh, rather than just to celebrate and affirm. And I think that's part of the journey, is learning how we have nothing to offer if we don't first learn how to be at peace with ourselves and love ourselves.
I honestly think that's probably if you can do that, I mean, I think that was probably the thing that I struggled with for most of my 20s, because I didn't love myself, not in the way that I do now. It's more of an affirmation that I'm a whole person, right? And I'm not a broken person, right? I think a lot of us walk around, I did another podcast about this, is a lot of us walk around, unfortunately, as thinking that we're broken from childhood. And it's important to realize that we're actually whole and okay the way we are. We all need to do some work and self-reflection, but we're not broken. Right. And I think society thinks that oh, this person just needs to be on medication all the time, or there always seems to be a remedy. But that's not necessarily, you know, that's more of a Band-Aid solution.
Right? Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I think there certainly are some reasons that people need medication like insulin and for mental health. And there are mm-hmm. people who are bipolar, but sometimes dealing with depression is a lot with our anxiety and worry and fear.
Right.
And those are the things that we can learn how to live in trust and out of fear. And that's, some of that is learning about what are the things in our past that we still hold on to, how we can let go of that. And you know, when we're talking about mindfulness and being present, being in the moment is trusting yourself. And that's about calming your mind. Dr. Bruce Lipton has a book called The Biology of Belief. And he talks a lot about how the thoughts get manifested into our body. And I used to be a perfectionist. I used to be very driven, very anxious about things. I was always afraid, like, the other shoe's going to drop. Something's going to happen. And I was always worrying. Well, then you find that, you know, that doesn't do any good. And I had to look at what was that going on? What was causing me to feel of that? Well, that was some of that critic voice inside of me from somewhere in my past or something external. I mean, if you watch enough news, if you watch news during the day,
yeah,
you can feel like you're ready to jump off the bridge, because all they talk about is all the negativity going on in the world. And I'm here to say there's a lot of good things and a lot of good people that there are in the world.
Well, I actively try to avoid the news cycle nowadays for good reason.
I think that's wise. I mean, I honestly, you know, I think I limit myself to how much on visual video TV I listen to. I'll read, because sometimes the reading doesn't impact me the way the video does. When I see the blood and guts and all the things. And, you know, it's so interesting because on TV, you know, okay, I live in the United States, and they'll talk about some bombing in India or some other country just because it's a gory story, you know, rather than telling some of the good, wonderful things that people are doing, you know, in your country and mine. And so I think we have to watch, what do we feed our soul? What do we feed our mind?
Yeah, it's called mental nutriments.
Oh, I like that. I love that. Mental nutrients. That's why, as you do your reading, and I wrote this book this way, so you know, so that people could take one day and read like each day for 15 minutes a day, because most people wouldn't read a book of theology. Most people don't want that. But if they'll give a book, if they'll give a you know, a, like a this reflection a day, and it's set up for 40 days. My wife and I actually, we read the reflection each day together so we can talk about it. But, you know, it you might do it with a friend, so you can just kind of, it's a launching off. I'm not here to give answers. I'm here to, I give ideas and questions and let the scriptures, the words from these great teachers, let them illuminate your heart, right?
Yeah, I'm happy that you put it together in such a digestible format, because I find, like, for example, I find the Bible intimidating. Like, I'm not gonna lie,
of course,
it's, you know, it's over 1,000 pages. I even have the Life Application Bible, and I still find it intimidating.
it's like anything. For me to read the Quran, I try to read the Quran, and I don't understand it, right? I mean, you have to really be a student of any certain thing, even the teachings of Taoism and Tao Ching. I mean, you know, until you start reading them. So, of course, what I say to people is just read Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You know, read the Gospels in the New Testament. Don't worry about, you know, all the stuff in the Hebrew scriptures or that, because Jesus' teachings are at the very essence. But for people who are Jewish, you know, they read, you know, from Deuteronomy. And that's the other thing. You have to understand the culture of when these things are written, who they're writing to with some of it, and then how does it relate to my life? But, you know, when we're talking about mindfulness, I had to think of, because in my book, I write this in, from Taoism, from Te Ching, and he says, if you meet Tao, you will not be able to see its face. If you follow Tao, you will not be able to see its back. But in embracing Tao, the present moment becomes obvious. And of course, Tao is that very essence, right, of the divine.
It's the prime essence.
And like this is from Buddha. Buddha says, do not dwell in the past. Do not dream of the future. Concentrate the mind on the present moment. So, you know, there's just in all of these different faiths, you can see the central theme for different things. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, I guess I want to ask you a couple more personal questions.
Yeah.
So I guess you already touched on it, but what has been, or what would you consider your biggest failure, and what did you learn from it?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I don't really use the word failure because I think society does.
Yeah, I agree.
But I think what I would say is, what was something that I didn't succeed in? And of course, I think always the things that we fail at, if you will, are we don't achieve what we hope to, we learn more from. Mm-hmm. And I think the things, what I've realized more than anything is, out of those times that I was very hard on myself, or I didn't achieve what I thought, was to get some perspective on those and give myself a little slack. I use the word grace, forgiveness, forgiveness. Don't be so hard on yourself. You know, I think somebody doesn't set out when they get married that they're going to get divorced, right? Now, but some people go through divorce and they did the best they could. It didn't work out, but they learned something from it. And a lot of times somebody gets married a second time and they have a wonderful marriage. Some people get married two or three times, you know, or some people don't ever get married. But it's part of the journey of relationships, you know, that we grow into. So I think that's what I've learned, if anything, from those experiences that didn't go the way I thought, was to get some perspective, see what I learned from them, and then give myself a little bit of grace.
Grace.
Easier on myself. Don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah. I think the Tao Te Ching would say the same thing, maybe not in those exact words.
Oh, of course not.
Right. Yeah. But the Tao Te Ching talks more in terms of nature, right? When, like you were talking earlier about the ocean, staying low, staying humble. It talks about being the Tao as the mother of all things. And it even talks about like being, it doesn't say don't be judgmental, but it says it doesn't even say don't, it says if you are judging somebody, it's more of a reflection of yourself than it is a reflection of that other person.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with hatred, anger, all of these emotions. And it doesn't say don't feel them. It just says a true Taoist or someone of the Tao, in the Tao, understands themselves first. before making those pronouncements about other people.
I think that's so true. And because, you know, one of the things I talk about is not to take things personally. Mm. You know, if somebody gets upset or angry, when I was younger, I would take it personally. I'd be like, you're attacking me, you know, or when it was really more about them than me, they were in a bad mood or they had their point of view, and I could take their suggestion or their criticism and evaluate it. I might embrace some of it, but just because they give that criticism doesn't make it that they're right and I'm wrong. So I think the real challenge and that we're talking about here today is in the hero story, it is about being open to what, you know, our desire and our passion is and live out the best of yourself. And we're going to grow. We're going to make mistakes. You know, we can improve ourselves. We can grow and deepen ourselves. And that's part of just the journey of being open and wanting to deepen and be enriched. And but yet let it be that which we enjoy the journey, not so much, you know, trying so hard to get to the final destination.
The path is the journey, right? The destination is the path.
And you know, it was so bad because when I got out, when I'm in college, I couldn't wait to get out of college because I wanted to go to LA, mm-hmm. you know, and then I can't wait to get done with this production because I want to go to the next production. And what happens is when you're always looking to get through this, to go to something next, I was never enjoying things. I was never, you know, letting it feed my soul, if you will. It's the same way somebody gives you a compliment and you blow it off. Oh, well, yeah, it's okay. But, you know, and then you miss that when it sense of the motion of just the experience. You know, right now I'm savoring our conversation. I'm savoring you're giving me this some new ideas to think about mental nutrition,
mental nutriments, and that's not even mine. That's from my Atomic Alchemy coaching program.
Yeah, well, I mean, but it's okay. I mean, but it was a new idea. I hope some of the people who are listening to right now, maybe they're feeling a little frazzled or a little unsure or questioning or frustrated, feeling that sense of disconnect with themselves, maybe others. And I would just encourage them to take some time to do some kind of breathing and reading, find something that you can feed your soul or somebody that you like. The people who are putting drama in your life, stay away from those people. Find some ways of things that will make you feel better and good about yourself. And start to work and begin there.
Yeah, and I guess I was just going to ask you this question because this podcast is really about finding for myself. It's basically giving advice to myself roughly 7 to 10 years ago, and I call it the doomer mindset. So, what can a doomer start to do to get on the path of becoming a bloomer in life, business, and relationships? What would be your best advice to them?
I think that's a great question. And I think it is to be willing to ask some questions that if you're unhappy, mm-hmm. if your life is in turmoil, what's causing that turmoil? What's causing that unhappiness? If you're feeling a lot of shame or guilt or anger, trying to find what's causing that and then being able to set a new path and the part of with the mind and the thoughts, being in tune with what you're thinking and what's staying in your mind rent free.
That's a good one.
You know, it's interesting because the critic inside of I described it would have been somebody who was anxious. Mm-hmm. The critic that I listened to was a little judgment, was very judgmental, kind of a perfectionist, was somebody who was very impatient. Now, if I took those personality traits and I put them in a person who was sat beside me, I'd go, I want nothing to do with that person. Who wants to be around somebody who's impatient, judgmental, worrying all the time, you know? And I mean, and yet that was like my best friend in my brain, you know? And it wasn't even my best friend, it was the critic. But I was listening to that more than I was anybody else. And so I want to invite people to think about that. That would be what I wish I, well, it's what I finally began 20 years ago to start to think about.
And then I guess because we're coming up for time here, Jerry, I would like to know the best place for our listeners to connect with you online, either your coaching links or your book and social media handles.
Sure. Well, I have a website, jerryzaire.com, and that's where you can look at the book or my other writings, some of my videos, and you can buy the book, The Peacemaker's Path, Multi-Faith Reflections to Deepen Your Spirituality, on Amazon or any bookstore. And I'm on LinkedIn and Instagram and Twitter. But I appreciate the time and thank you for what you're doing to help others find their way on their journey.
Yeah, and of course, I don't know if you got this one or not, but I always ask this last question real quick before the end. What is your zombie plan?
My zombie plan. I know. I don't really have one, although I looked that up when you asked me to see what the zombie plan is, you know. Yeah. Because I don't want to live in that fear.
No, of course.
So I'm going to, my zombie plan is I have some pizza, ice cream, and wine. I stock up on pizzas, wine, and just eat a lot at the last days.
All right. Awesome, Jerry. Again, you can connect with Jerry at jerryzaire.com. Check out his new book, The Peacemaker's Path, Multi-Faith Reflections to Deepen Your Spirituality. I will put all the links in the descriptions, as I always do. And of course, if you're out there cruising the internet, check www.thedoomerbloomerpodcast.com for previous episodes. And the best place to connect with me, of course, is at The Doomer Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Cheers, guys. Thanks for listening, and tune in next time.
Blessing. Thank you.
The Doomer Bloomer Podcast is produced by Will S., in conjunction with Doomer Bloomer Media. This podcast is all rights reserved. All media and references are of the owner's own submissions. All opinions are solely his own. Anyone disputing anything that I say on here can be or can be contested in a court of law. I am a free-speaking individual, and I reserve the right to remain silent. If you'd like to find out more, go to the www.doomerbloomers.com/support. To become a member today. If you are interested in the coaching program, go to the Patreon page, link in the description. If you are interested in the merch, go to the Teespring or the Tee Public store.
Any other inquiries, business or otherwise, can be sent to themapletruths@gmail.com. Always looking for sponsors and interesting guests. If you are one of those two, shoot me an email or get in touch at the Doomer Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Cheers.